Okay, let's get ready to study the Word of God together. Phil, good to see you tonight. Before we go into prayer and our study, as your shepherd, not teacher, but shepherd, I'd like to read this to you. Dear friends, if you have not seen this already, please take the time to read it. It contains very practical information from a doctor who worked on coronaviruses as a professor of pathology, which is the science of causes and effects of diseases at UC San Diego in the 70s. Now, as I read this, I want you to remember, coronavirus affects the lungs. It's a lung virus. So would you think about how would something get to our lungs? Okay. This is from the doctor. Dear family and friends, as some of you may recall, and the reason I picked this one, I've read a lot. This is just so well laid out. Dear friends, family and friends, as some of you may recall, when I was a professor of pathology at the University of California, San Diego, I was one of the first molecular virologists in the world to work on coronaviruses. I was the first to demonstrate the number of genes the virus contained. Since then, I have kept up with coronavirus field and its multiple clinical transfers into the human population. SARS, MERS, from different animal sources. The current projections for this expansion in the U.S. are only probable due to continual insufficient worldwide data. But it is most likely to be widespread by mid to late March. So people, let's just be in prayer every day through the end of March and April to kind of protect America. Now, continuing. Here's what I have done and the precautions that I take and will take. These are the same precautions I currently use during our influenza seasons, except for the mask and gloves that I'll be talking about. One, no handshaking, capitalized. Use a fist bump, slight elbow, that type of thing. Two, use only your knuckle to touch light switches, elevator buttons. Lift the gasoline dispenser with a paper towel or use a disposable glove. Three, open doors with your closed fist. I don't know how you do that, but with your closed fist or hip, I know how to do that. Do not grasp the handle with your hand unless there is no other way to open the door. Especially important on bathroom and post office commercial doors. Four, use disinfectant wipes at the stores when they're available, including wiping the handle and child's seat in grocery carts. Five, this is important. Wash your hands with soap for 10 to 20 seconds. I usually do it about 8 seconds, but I'm going to start counting. 1, 2, Mississippi, 3, Mississippi, 4, Mississippi. And all my wife says, you can go, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Huh? See? Ah, or do the ABCs. So, yeah, and I'm figuring out everything. So wash your hands with soap for 10 to 20 seconds and or use a greater than 60% alcohol-based hand sanitizer. Whenever you return home from any activity that involves locations where other people have been. Six, keep a bottle of sanitizer greater than 60% alcohol-based available at each of your home entrances and in your car for use after getting gas or touching other contaminated objects when you can't immediately wash your hands. 7. If possible, cough or sneeze into disposable tissue and discard. Use your elbow only if you have to. The clothing on your elbow will contain infectious virus that can be passed on for up to a week or more. Do what? Okay. If possible, cough or sneeze into a disposable tissue and discard. Use your elbow only if you have to. The clothing on your elbow will contain infectious virus that can be passed on for up to a week. What I have stocked in preparation for the pandemic, that means nationwide, worldwide, spread to the U.S. 1. Latex or nitrile latex disposable gloves for use when going shopping, using the gasoline pump, and or all other activities, outside activities, when you come in contact with contaminated areas. Note, this virus is spread, okay, this is it, this virus is spread in large droplets by coughing and sneezing. This means that the air will not infect you. But all the surfaces where these droplets land are infectious for about a week on average. Everything that is associated with infected people will be contaminated and potentially infectious. The virus is on surfaces, and you will not be infected unless your unprotected face is directly coughed or sneezed upon. This virus only has cell receptors for lung cells. It only infects your lungs. The only way for the virus to infect you is through your nose or mouth, via your hands, or an infected cough or sneeze into your nose or mouth. 2. Stock up with disposable surgical masks and use them to prevent, here's why you're using them, to prevent you from touching your own nose or your own mouth. We touch our nose and mouth 90 times of the day without even knowing it. Don't you say I do it twice that. This is the only way this virus can infect you. It is a lung specific. The mask will not prevent the virus in a direct sneeze from getting into your nose or mouth. It is only to keep you from touching your nose or mouth. Stock up now with hand sanitizers, latex nitrile gloves. Get the appropriate sizes for the members of your family. The hand sanitizers must be alcohol-based, greater than 60% alcohol, to be effective. 4. This is interesting. Stock up now with zinc lozenges. These zinc lozenges have been proven to be effective in blocking coronavirus and other viruses from multiplying in your throat and in your pharynx. Use as directed several times each day when you begin to feel any, capital letters, cold-like symptoms beginning. It is best to lie down, take the zinc lozenges, dissolve in the back of your throat and your pharynx. Lodges is, and it says Cold Easy Lodges is one brand available, but there are other brands available. I, as many others do, hope this pandemic will be reasonably contained. But I personally do not think it will be. I pray it will be. I think the Trump administration with Pence doing everything we can do. What man would not do in stopping people from coming to this country, God did with the coronavirus. Now even the Democrats don't want people coming into the country. So God set it up where if we won't do it, He'll do it. Humans have never seen this snake-associated virus before and have no internal defense against it. Tremendous worldwide efforts are being made to understand the molecular and clinical virology of this virus. Unbelievable, miraculous knowledge about the genomics structure and virulence, V-I-R-U-L-A-N-C-E, virulence of this virus have already been achieved. Now, he says, but there is no drug, there will be no drugs or vaccines available this year. Israel claims they're going to have theirs out in 2 weeks. I love Israel. It's a small country, but it has great impact. I hope these personal thoughts will be helpful during this potential catastrophic pandemic. Good luck to all of us, Dr. James Robb. Okay, and if you wanted to look it up on the internet, Dr. James Robb, R-O-B-B. So you can get that one I just read to you.
If you're in Rockwell, it's too late. My wife bought the last pack of gloves from Walmart 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yesterday she went to all the stores to get the hand sanitizer. She got the last one from CVS, and she went to every other store, and they didn't have it.
Really?
Wow. And what was the other thing?
The mask.
She can't find any masks.
Yeah,
and
that's what
okay.
They're having
oh, with, I was in Sam's today. They had a whole counter full of gloves. I mean, they just packed them. And so, yes.
Just I can give you, when you pump the gas, you can kind of do it. I just want to have specific gloves. Because my trucks are all diesel. If you get that diesel in your hands and in your truck, it smells like
hell. Yeah.
So what I do is I have a specific set of gloves. When I pump my diesel, I just put them on the floorboard. You can do the same thing with the gas instead of using rubber gloves all the time.
Yeah.
Don't put it up to your face because then it's doing the same damn thing. You know?
Yep, exactly.
You know, but if you smell the gasoline, you're more than likely not going to be putting it up to your face. But I just got a separate pair of gloves. Just set it on the floorboard in the back seat or in the back truck or back seat.
Yeah.
Pump it that way.
So, any other comments, feedback, statements, cautions, precautions? All right. And
I heard from Larry Lynn, who was trying to do the same thing as Kid Larry, that on the internet they are not. Everything is sold out as well.
Yeah, I know it is. Right?
And they're saying that when you do find it, it's 500% higher than it was.
Free American-realized capitalistic system. Hot damn. I love it.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. The Sam's right over here on the coin has a whole section of the gloves. So there you go.
I love capitalism.
I didn't look for the hand sanitizers and all that.
But you know what you can do at Kroger's, they have what I use is you go in there like where the Kleenex and stuff are, the hand sanitizer, they've got their own special kind. It's in a plastic container, and I forget what the alcohol is. You just pull it up. It's just like a little handy wipe, but it's actually a disinfectant, you know.
Yeah. But it's like my biology told prof in high school.
What's that?
One of the surest ways to spread germs is kissing. But it's the most enjoyable.
What does that have to do with the coronavirus?
Okay, let's I'm going to special request your prayers. We'll have no class next Wednesday. I will be in Houston at a pastor's conference. Please be in prayer for over 100 pastors that will be convening there. It would be an ace for Satan to use to get some disease or something passed around, some heresy, anything like that. So just be in prayer to protect the pastors, all us pastors that will be down there. Please be in prayer for travel, not just for me, but for all of them there and travel home. And just please be in prayer for all that will be going on there next week. And then we'll not miss any Sundays here, but we will not have class next Wednesday. And please be in prayer for me as I prepare for studying, for going and this Sunday, and then the Sunday when I come back. I'd like to have that one done also, if possible. So, get with too. And so, just please be in prayer for all the pastors and for me as we prepare for next week. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. And I think what brought that on was I'm getting ready. This Sunday, we will end our study on predestination. We are predestined to end it this Sunday. So, I want to move a little faster, much faster, in Ephesians. So, be in prayer. I can be so fast, skip good stuff, or overdo good stuff. So, just be in prayer with the Holy Spirit leading me to what this assembly and those on the internet will need to hear. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we study your word, we become so aware that you're in control of history. So many things going on in the world now, Father, causes us to draw attention to it. I pray, Father, your Spirit will lead this assembly in the study of your word and our three studies of things that you would have us to know at this time in history. This time in our lives, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Let's begin by opening the Word of God to Ezekiel 28, just to orient ourselves to where we are. We're almost through with Ezekiel 28 as far as our study here. And then we're going to go to two other aspects in the book of Ezekiel. Now, let's just begin our reading. Let's begin at verse 16. By the abundance of your trades, says God speaking to Morning Star, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Now what happens when we sin? Therefore separated from God. Therefore I cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, banished you, O covering, guarding cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. And that's where we are. He corrupted his wisdom. And we left off last week looking at some aspects of wisdom. Different words for wisdom in the Word of God and different challenges in regard to wisdom. Let's open the Word of God, first of all, to Proverbs 14, verse 16. Proverbs 14, 16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Now that word cautious is one of the Hebrew words for to fear, but it means to be very careful in your life, to avoid potential problems and danger, just like what I read to you in prevention of coronavirus instead of common sense, and be alert. It is wisdom to be alert. Lucifer, Morningstar, did not have it. It is wisdom to be alert when we make decisions in our daily life. What will this decision do? What will that decision do? Well, if I just speed up a little bit, I can make this orange light. Think about it. Is that really worth it? Those kind of things. Next, let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles, chapter 2. We have several words here we need to look at. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 12. Then Huram, which means high barn, he's the king of Tyre. Isn't that interesting? King of Tyre, the Lucifer or morning star, is correlated with the king of Tyre. So then Huram, king of Tyre, continued, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has made heaven and earth." He's a wise king. See? "Who made heaven and earth, who has given King David a wise son." Now he defines wise son. Endowed. He realizes this wisdom is not natural, but comes supernaturally from the God of Israel. He is endowed with discretion. The King James translates this Hebrew word prudence. New American Standard, discretion. Both, in their definitions, are a vital part of the makeup of wisdom. We would be hard-pressed to distinguish between discretion and prudence. The person who is discreet separates thoughts or actions and values them, while a person who is prudent is being wise in the way of caution. Very careful about the actions of life. Now, there are some actions in life that require more time. Getting married. Making an investment. Buying, moving, this type of thing. These are things that you have to be endowed with discretion, prudence. Consider where you're, or what you be the decision you're making. The Hebrew word used here for discretion in the New American Standard is more than just learning from the book knowledge. It places great emphasis on insight and understanding. And that's what wisdom is, and that's why you can be have a great deal of book learning and have zero wisdom. You couldn't figure out anything. Other people don't have much book learning, but are wise. They can think things through. If I do this type of thing, they can think their way through. So this word places great emphasis on insight of making relationship between this action and its results. The best way I can cause you to understand prudence and wisdom is our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution were framed by wisdom. But it is prudence to apply these rules to life in America. That's prudence. It was given to us out of the wisdom of Thomas Jefferson and our founding fathers. It is prudent that we use it correctly. And therefore, in America, you can obviously see we're lacking in great prudence in this country. A whole political party lacks prudence, wanting to change the Constitution. So, this is the best I can give you for the difference between wisdom and prudence. See? Apply these principles laid out in the Constitution in your life, morality, government, politics, foreign and domestic. Here's where America's failing today. We lack prudence about or from our Constitution. Our founding fathers had great wisdom to give us this great Constitution. But our leaders and lawyers today lack the prudence to apply it to our social and moral judicial system. I had the privilege of being with my granddaughter last night eating. She's going to go into law school. She's been accepted at SMU, University of Texas, and a couple of others. She hasn't made up her mind where she's going to go yet. But we were talking, and I said, how's everything going in school right now? And she said, okay. I said, everything okay? And she said, well, one course is pretty tough. And I said, what is that? And she said, it is a study of constitutional law. And then I had the opportunity to share some of this with her. And that's prudence. Being able to go back and think why they worded it the way they did. The Constitution is proclaimed, like the Bible, not to have one wasted word. That's the way it's, if you study it, that's the way it's given. Now, I would like to say I don't waste words, but my wife would throw something at me. So I repeat and all that. But there's no vile repetition in our Constitution. It's very important. It's very difficult to study and to analyze. Okay, that's the first thing. And then he says, and understanding. All right. What does this word add to our discussion of wisdom? Again, from the lexicon, this word carries a strong emphasis on spiritual understanding. Not the understanding of your car, not the understanding of virus, the understanding spiritual things. If I do this, what's it going to be the impact on my spiritual life? If I run around with these people, what's going to be the impact on my spiritual life? See? If I spend my money this way, what's going to be the impact on my spiritual life? So, understanding in the Bible deals with spiritual understanding. What this action will mean in our relationship with God. It is not merely a matter of sin or not sin, but what furthers the plan of God in your life. I'll give you an example. Paul says, all things are legal for him, but not all things are profitable. That's a perfect example. All things are legal, but not all things are spiritually profitable. See? Then the king adds, who will build a house for the Lord and a royal palace for himself. Now, let's look at another great verse for wisdom in life. Look at Daniel. Wise Daniel. One of the true wise people of the Bible. Daniel 2:14. He's a young teenager taken from Israel into Babylon, elected to go into further studies into Babylonian language, Babylonian history, Babylonian culture. That would be like a teenager today taken into Islam, having to learn Islam language, Islam culture. Daniel went right along, didn't rebel. Great wisdom. But look at Daniel 2, and we're going to look at verse 14. Then Daniel replied, now look what it says, with discretion and discernment. Wow. To Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Now you might remember the context. Daniel's life is at stake along with all the wise men in history. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he knew better than just telling them what he dreamed, because they could just make up something. So he said, tell me what I dreamed. Well, they were furious. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. So he said, off with your heads. I'm going to kill every one of you, and I'm destroying your property, your families, and your property. These are the wise people of his kingdom. So Daniel's included here. So Daniel went to his God and did some prayer. See? Look at verse 12. Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel knew he had to be careful in addressing the man in charge of this execution. So look what it says. He replied or approached him with discretion and discernment. Now the King James says with counsel instead of discretion and wisdom instead of discernment. With counsel and wise discretion. That's the King James. This word refers in the Hebrew, refers to the manner in which one replies or acts with discretion. Avoid causing offense. See? That's not being politically correct, that's having discretion. The word discernment, this time we have an Aramaic noun, meaning sound judgment. There's not a whole lot of Aramaic in the Old Testament. I'm glad Dr. Barker was at Dallas Seminary. Not many people qualify to teach Aramaic. But Dr. Barker taught us Aramaic and Ugaritic, as well as Hebrew. And it helps in the study of Esther and a few other places. But the Aramaic word means sound judgment. Okay. So he thought, okay, the decree's out to kill us. I want to talk to him about that. I want to do it carefully. And I want my words to be weighed so that I can make an imprint on his soul. Now, the first book God gave us has a great deal to say about wisdom. Let's start by looking at Job 28. Job 28. That's all the wisdom we're going to get from Daniel. Job 28. But, you know, let's just talk about it. Isn't there discretion when you're talking to someone whose husband, wife, child, parent have just died, and you're going to talk to them? I know people that won't even talk to people because they don't know what to say, what not to say. They're just going to avoid it. That's probably a wise choice if you don't know. But it takes discretion. People, it takes discretion when people are distraught. Your husband's distraught. Your wife is distraught. How you word it can set them off or calm them down. See? Yes?
I don't use that word so much. I use the word presentation. It's how it's presented to you. That's what I use.
Yeah, days. How you present it.
Meaning discretion.
And the words. Yeah. Words to use. Yeah.
How it's presented.
How you present it. Tone is often important. So, just the discussion and how you talk with people. See? How you witness to a Muslim. How you witness to a Jew. How you encourage somebody in the Word of God. All of these kinds of things become important. Okay, let's look at Job chapter 28, verse 12. Job 28, verse 12. Let me get there with you. That's Job 38. All right. Job 28, 12. But where can wisdom be found? That's the great question. Where can I find wisdom? Where can I find this discretion? We're going to find these things. And where is the place of understanding? And people, if you find this place, you're a very wealthy person. Okay? Very wealthy. Let's just read a little bit. Verse 12, 13. All right, verse 12. Where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Uh-oh. Not going to find it with Plato or Aristotle and all these other people. Not according to God. The deep, that's where God cast all the demons. It is not with me. The sea says, it is not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it. Nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir. This is where precious metals come. Verse 17, gold or glass cannot equal it. Nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned. And the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. How the difficulty of making a pearl. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. Nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? I wish every parent understood this. They spend so much time and money on education and neglect true wisdom. Let's continue in verse 21. Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the sky, the angelic realm. Abaddon and death say, with our ears, we've heard a report about it. Listen to the 23. God understands its way. He knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure. When he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt. He directs lightning. Then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So, this is the great issue. Where can it be found? Now, where this question arises, look where this question arises. Look at, let's look at Job 38. At 28, excuse me, Job 38, that's right. Job 38, 1. Job 38, 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel? But words without knowledge. Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you and see if you can instruct me. Words without knowledge. I think in 2020, we already have, but I think from now up until November election, we're going to hear a lot of knowledge, a lot of words without knowledge. A lot of words without any knowledge of the isms. Capitalism, socialism, communism. Will not know without knowledge. We're going to hear a lot of it. Let your eyes, ears be tuned to listening for that very thing to happen. Now let's look at chapter 38. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? This is talking about spiritually. Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me, if you know all this, where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered into the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail? I don't want to see either one of those. Too cold. Which I have reserved for the time of distress, for the day of war and battle. Where is the way the light is divided? Are the east winds scattered on the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the flood, or a way for the thunderbolt, to bring rain to a land without people, or a desert without man in it, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the seeds of grass sprout? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? We'll stop reading there. The answer to where wisdom will be found: God understands its way. God knows its place. Okay. So, another passage to the understanding of the importance of wisdom is found in the wisdom literature of Proverbs. So let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs, let's start with Proverbs 8. How important is wisdom? Many lives are ruined. People ruin. You have one shot on earth, and many lives are ruined. Lack of wisdom. Lack of discretion. Making wrong decisions. Who you hang around with. It's a wise parent that teaches their children. Well, I don't like that person. No, that isn't going to cut it. That's just going to cause him to want to hang around with those people all the more. You got to sit down. And not in a sermon either. Less than 3 minutes, explain to them about how crowd influences, people influence one another, and what happens. Give them some illustrations, maybe from your own life. It's very important to communicate wisdom. Chapter 8, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 8, verse wisdom. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? Okay. Now, look at verse 11. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot be compared to her. Wisdom. Seek and search wisdom. Look at verse 12. Personified. I, wisdom, dwell with, prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. We have three words: wisdom, prudence, knowledge, or four words, and discretion. All dealing with wisdom. Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine. Wisdom is talking. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. And I love the next line. Power is mine. Person has wisdom, has power. Person who lacks wisdom doesn't have power. Now you've got to have power. And that power is not in your arm or sword or horse or gun. It's in wisdom. That's where the power of life comes from. That's where it dwells. I have here that we should read all 36 verses in this chapter, but let's forego that right now. Let's go back to Job 28 a moment. Go back to Job 28, please. Job 28. Look again at verse 12. Where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? I just don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what's going on in the world. I don't understand this. By the way, this coronavirus has caused me, and then the tornado in Tennessee and all that's going on and the weather in the world, we might have to take a night or two and just go through some things that's going on in Revelation. God is giving us a lot of clues of the tribulation. And he says he would near the end of the church age. There's just so much going on. The disease, pandemic, weather, so volatile, so changing, so much going on in the world. It takes wisdom. Wisdom to understand how we're to calculate these things and what we're to do with them. Look at verse 11 again. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot be compared to her. See? So, this is the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, the perverted mouth I hate, counsel is mine, sound wisdom, understanding, power is mine. God alone knows all wisdom and where wisdom is to be found. See? Job 28:20. Where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of the living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Wisdom for mankind begins with fear and reverence of God. Let's look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his wisdom. The word is, notice, is in italics. It's not in the original. It's his wisdom. His praise endures forever. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Almost all the commentaries will tell you that means awe and respect. I agree it means that. But I think there's an element of true fear. There's something to be gained from fear. If you're in total darkness and in fear, it causes you to look for what? Flashlight. A match. A light. Fear takes you somewhere. I want to remove and relieve this fear. Fear will drive us to the Lord. Fear will drive us to God. Coronavirus. China. They are having an unbelievable evangelism going on in China. They cannot get out. They talk in communities with one another. Christians are winning Chinese who are in fear by the droves. They need Bibles. They need your prayers. Protection from the authorities. And openness to continue witnessing. It is unbelievable what is going on in communist China right now today with coronavirus causing so much people lack of moving around. So be in prayer for them. That's wisdom. Be in prayer for them from our standpoint. Proverbs 1:7. Let me just read it to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I would read that to my child if I was a parent. You don't want to hear my wisdom? You don't want to hear wisdom of the Bible? A fool despises wisdom and instruction. A moron despises wisdom and instruction. Note carefully, the fear of the Lord is wisdom and also the beginning of knowledge. See, it takes you to His knowledge. Fear will drive you to it. Those who deny His creation of the world lose out on His wisdom. Let me repeat that. Those who deny His creation, which is going on big time today, the world loses out on His wisdom. Look at Psalm 104. Look at Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how many are your words in works? In wisdom, you have made them all. If you don't understand creation, you lose out on His wisdom. Study the human body. There's so much we don't know about the human body. There's so much to be discovered about the human body. It is a remarkable machine. Remarkable. I don't get upset at doctors that can't figure it out. I take my car to a mechanic. We built the thing and they can't figure it out. So, the doctor's given a machine he didn't even create. He didn't even design. He's still learning about it. See? So, understand wisdom and fear. How many are your works? In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom. And by His understanding, He stretched out the heavens. So if you want to study the wisdom of God, study creation of the human body, the world, the universe, the galaxy, and you'll just be overwhelmed with His wisdom and His intelligence. Now, closing our study of wisdom, and I want to do this. Number one point. Wisdom is a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful phrase. Who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is the wisdom from God. Look at Colossians 2. Verse 2. This is powerful. 2 or 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together beforehand, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Take that and go back to every passage we read where we have wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge is Jesus Christ. There is the wisdom and knowledge. People that reject Him are morons, fools. They don't understand. You and I understand, therefore, we should make it our life commitment to learn more and more about Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, dear people, in closing, if you desire to be wise, learn about Jesus Christ every day, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and friend of those who believe and live by faith and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can never learn too much about Jesus Christ. You can never grow too old to learn about Jesus Christ. John Hintz and I were horrified. We were in the presence of a pastor, raised Greek, knew Greek, studied Greek and Hebrew. He said, I've done all the studying I need to do. I'm through studying the Word of God. He was an older man, and I'm going to get out of the ministry now. John and I we nearly lost it right there in front of him, but we waited to talk about it later. People, you're never, ever too old to be encouraged and enriched in wisdom and learning about Jesus Christ. As Peter says, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's close by looking at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Got chapter 12 on my mind for the conflict. Revelation chapter 5. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Then I looked, this is John, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads of thousands, saying with a loud voice. This must have been an unbelievable sound of singing. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. Now turn to chapter 7. Verses 11 and 12. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an unbelievable God you are, Father. that you shared with us. We're not billionaires. We're not leaders of nations. We're not leaders of armies. We're not leaders of corporations. We're just your servants in the Plano area. And you've given to us privy of wisdom. True wisdom. You've given to us the privilege to learn more and more about your Son. And then you've given to us the free will. We could choose to do it or not. We could choose to spend part of our day learning something about Jesus Christ or not. And then you've given to us the power, your own Holy Spirit, to guide us into your word, to open up wisdom to us. Father, I pray, use the things we've seen tonight to the honor and glory of the wisdom of the world, Jesus the Christ, our Savior friend. In his precious name we pray. Amen.